Hey, everybody, coming at you for a quick announcement. We wanted to share some good news that hopefully you've seen already around, but we have a Dune TV show coming out.
Well, not us, but there is a Dune TV show coming out.
The Royal We. Yes, Dune Prophecy is getting closer. The release date is set for sometime in November, and we are encroaching upon that date. So we are excited to announce that we are going to be extending our coverage to that TV show.
Yep. We're not going to be doing it like our regular podcast where we're going minute by minute because we want to maintain some degree of sanity throughout all of this. But we will be doing an episode of the Dune Minute podcast or special episodes of the Dune Minute podcast in conjunction with the episodes coming out each week.
Yep.
We don't quite know yet what day we're going to be releasing those podcasts, but we will be blasting our socials and everything with more information as they're coming out. So keep an eye on your feeds, because coming up, you might be getting two episodes on one day a week.
That's right. Just what the people want. More,
more
of us.
Dune.
All right, cool. We'll see y'all later.
Yep. See ya. Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we're back. It's Tuesday. Let's just go ahead and get into it, talk about some fucking murder.
Oh man, we got a lot. I think this is the minute where I have the most notes.
All right.
Yeah, so let's do it, man.
Yeah. So yesterday we ended off with a barrage of no's and, you know, punching of metal doors, which historically has always been very effective ways of opening metal doors.
I had a specific note. I said, Paul keeps banging on the door as if that's how you open doors in this universe.
Yeah. You just fucking punch them. We're in Minecraft now. You just fucking punch trees down. That's how this works.
In his defense, I think we mentioned yesterday that he did try the lock.
Yeah.
He did try the button.
It wasn't working. And Paul is watching his best friend die. So that's cool. Teenage Paul is watching his 30 something year old best friend die.
Yeah. God, I never thought about that. Yeah.
Do we know Duncan's age?
I'm sure it's listed somewhere in the encyclopedia. I don't know off the top of my head, but
he's not a rolling, ugly old man. No.
He's on the younger side, but I'd say, you know, 30s.
Yeah.
Mid 30s, 40s, something like that.
Either way, it's still a little weird. Anyways, we ended the minute yesterday stopping on Kynes.
Yep.
And we start with Kynes picking up Paul's mantle from the last couple of weeks once again, saying he's locked the door.
Whew, I didn't know.
Yeah, well, now we do. Thank you, Kynes.
I don't know why I bought the full office chair. I only needed the edge when I was watching this minute. I was sitting just right on the edge. I didn't know what happened.
Well, you can sit back now.
Okay, good.
Paul's still slamming the door as hard as he can. On the other side, Duncan draws.
They cut the drunken scene. The drunken Idaho scene.
The drunken Idaho, yeah. Duncan draws his other blade.
Yep.
And more Sardaukar begin to enter into the room. So there's three Sardaukar in the room right now. Mm-hmm. One of them isn't wearing a helmet. Thought that was interesting.
I got knocked off.
Sure. Still just thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. So right now we're in a 3v1 situation.
Yeah.
Duncan does one of the coolest things and one of the smartest things that no one else seems to do. He fucking punches himself in the chest and activates his shield.
Yep. But before we go too far ahead of it, did you notice how raggedy the Sardaukar uniforms look at this point? They are bloodied.
One of them is.
The first one, yeah. The first one that you see coming in, they all kind of are. They're worse than they were.
But the first one is fucking drenched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I made it a point to go back to the scene where they're floating down just to look at the uniforms then. And they're all clean.
Yeah.
Very, very clean. Yeah. So it's a very subtle nod to the intensity of that fight with the Fremen that they just got out of.
Yeah. No, we talked about yesterday, all those other Fremen are pretty much all guaranteed dead. And now we just get further confirmation that they're not doing well.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I just like that they're doing kind of a visual storytelling that, you know, obviously time has passed, but there's some intense fighting that has happened as well. So that's good on them. Good decoration.
Yes. Duncan slams his chest with his fist, activating his shield, and then does just this super cool, like, knee slide attack and just murks the shit out of the super bloodied Sardaukar.
Now, I have some nits to pick with this.
Pick nits.
This fight, as awesome as it is, flies in the face of already established physics in this universe.
Yes.
Very
blades,
much.
Penetrating yes. shields. Duncan is not going slow.
No.
We had similar nits to pick during the attack on Arakeen as well.
Yeah.
With the line of Atreides soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they want to say that he has fast movements up until the time of, like, actually penetrate, but it doesn't line up.
It's not doing justice to that. I mean, it is, I don't know. It's like, he is just like stabbing through the shields and moving on to the next person.
Yeah.
So the act of the blade getting through the shield is what takes time. Mm-hmm. With this, and we see that taking no time at all. His blade is like a hot knife through butter with these shields, and it is cool. It's like a very entertaining scene, but it really just doesn't do the physics that we've already established early in the training scene any kind of justice.
I think they kind of realized that if you fight in the way that the Dune universe expects you to fight, it doesn't make for as compelling of an action scene in a movie.
That's fair.
And I agree with you. It does kind of take you out of it if you're paying attention for that shit. But if you're just someone watching the movie, you're watching this one guy fucking go ham. I keep score throughout this whole thing, by the way.
Good.
Just like in baseball, I keep my own scorecard.
it's cool. It's a very small detail that, you know, maybe we're noticing, but like you said, people watching the movie not going to really care about. But
yeah,
he is just mowing down the Sardaukar like nothing.
Well, so he does his little slide attack, mm-hmm. murks down the first one, and then I'm gonna pause for a second. I forgot. As the Sardaukar are coming in, we get this really cool scene where, like, one of them comes, like, really into focus, and we see him in a lot of detail and everything. Yeah. We see his, like, identifier tattoo above his eyebrow and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan then goes for the close-up Sardaukar and just, like, completely cleans him up really quickly.
Yeah.
Then goes to attack the helmetless Sardaukar. Once again, not a problem. He's gone. More Sardaukar are entering the room, and Duncan is just clearing house at this point. Then we go back into the lab for a minute. Tynes is running across. So it's a circular room, mm-hmm. in here, right? Tynes runs across the room, touches a panel on the wall, and the panel starts to, like, come out like it's a secret kind of passageway. It's, I guess, the Dune equivalent to pull the book on the bookcase and the bookcase slides sideways or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah. The book refers to these as bolt holes, okay. BOLTHOLES. I guess they're just passages that you can bolt down, run away. Cause the other time that we mentioned there, these get mentioned is the poison attack on,
Vladimir Harkin.
Yeah, the Baron. Sorry. Yeah. In the books, like, the poison happens and he escapes through one of these as well really quick. So there is a little bit of precedent in the books already for this.
Got it. One thing that I think is cool, and, you know, it's not in high enough detail to be able to read, mm-hmm. but Jacobsa is carved into all of the walls of this room.
This seems to be a theme with the Fremen.
Yeah.
Just carving words into the walls.
Yeah. Maybe it's some kind of, like, prayer or something. Or
sure.
Steve was here. Who knows?
Like the graffiti at Pompeii.
Yeah. Kilroy was here.
Yeah, right. We come back to Duncan. He's still chewing through him.
He's going in. But the best moment by far is the fucking WWE SummerSlam choke slam that he does on one of these fucking Sardaukar.
That's right.
Soldiers. It's so cool because he's so smooth with it too, and then just like choke slams the shit out of this one soldier.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the fun stops here, though, as Duncan takes a sword to the gut.
They finally get an opening.
Yeah. It doesn't really seem to faze him. He just kind of looks down at it for a second and then just headbutts the shit out of the guy that stabs him and knocks him to the floor.
So this is the first like shot that they've had on Duncan.
Yeah.
So far. What's your score right now?
My score right now is Duncan 10, Sardaukar 0.5.
Okay, so up until Duncan's stabbing, where Duncan gets stabbed, it was counted as well. So he definitely had it was a 9-0 up until that moment.
Yeah.
The tenth
was the guy that stabbed him.
So.
And then Sardaukar 0.5 because he's wounded.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's still definitely alive.
And these are supposed to be the best fighting force in the Imperium.
Yep.
The Sardaukar. And Duncan just 1v10 them, I guess.
Yeah.
And is coming out on top. I mean, currently.
I mean, it does kind of help Duncan that he is in a, you know, Thermopylae situation where it's
very narrow passage. Yeah. The hot gates. The hot gates.
I'm not going off of 300, the movie, though.
No, that's what it's called in real life, too. That's not just a 300 thing. The pass at Thermopylae. Yeah.
But yeah, it helps that Duncan's able to kind of keep them controlled in this small hallway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fucking the choke slam is so good. That was also one that I went back and rewind five seconds.
So five more Sardaukar enter the room after this.
One carrying a laser gun.
One carrying a big old gun. Looks like a.
It's almost like what you would see in like any other sci-fi, like, movie or property where there's like mining is a big thing. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's a mining laser.
Yeah.
Which it might be. I
went back to like World War II stuff where you get like specifically HBO's The Pacific.
Yeah.
This is the gun, like the big machine gun, the tripod gun. I can't remember the exact name of it.
John Bernthal fucking.
Yeah, where he burns his hand.
The shit out of his hand.
Yeah. Like that gun is a very important like story item in that show.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this guy's carrying it. Like it's a huge, like he has to hold it with two hands. It's got a massive muzzle on it, barrel, I should say. And it's a big old thing.
Yeah.
And he's the only one who's carrying that kind of weapon. The other ones are the other Sardaukar into the room are in there. They just have their normal swords.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, we're now 5v1 in the room. And then Duncan just gets fucking knocked the fuck out with a hand to the side of the head, or with a fist to the side of the head.
Yep. Important to note, blade still in his chest. It has not been removed.
Yep. It still has the fucking glowing red humming sound and everything.
Yeah. And there's like the camera kind of cuts behind him at this point, and we get to see the full, like, I guess, trajectory of that knife that gets stabbed, ready to get stabbed with.
Yeah.
And it looks like it went in underneath the ribs. At an upward angle.
Well, you see it go in from the front when he gets
stabbed. It's almost like a kidney area, or
I'd say more like pancreas.
Okay.
It's more off to the side than more
right below center. It looks like right below the rib cage going up.
Fatal.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. That's like in the direct vicinity of the heart.
No, your heart's up here.
What would that upward trajectory? That's going in that.
It doesn't go that high.
If you look,
it probably clips the bottom of his lung.
But if you look when it comes out the back, it's like high up on his back.
No, it's not.
All right.
It comes upward at an angle, but it does not go through his heart. Had it gone through his heart, it would have killed him immediately.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think I think it's like a pancreas stab and then probably like cuts up a good bit of like the bottom of his lung or whatever.
Oh yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very bad. I think we can agree on that.
It's not good. No.
We can agree on that.
A Band-Aid will not fix this.
No.
But a Band-Aid and a kiss will not fix this boo-boo.
So after he's cut down, or he's knocked down to his knees,
after he gets knocked to the floor.
Yeah, we get Paul standing outside the door, looks back at Jessica, and Jessica is looking panicked, as is tradition with her.
Sure.
And she's like backing away slowly from the door.
And she just says, he's gone.
Yeah.
And Paul's still like trying to shake the door open. And I have a nit to pick.
Pick away.
We've given a lot of props to set design and props departments and everything like that. However, you can see Paul shaking this plywood door.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I missed that.
Or like when he's banging on it, you can see it kind of like wobbling and stuff.
Okay.
And it's like,
all right,
well, if it's supposed to be a big, heavy door, like, sure. I get it, right? Cut costs where you can, save money, because these movies are hundreds of millions of dollars to make.
But also, like, these movies are they have hundreds of millions of dollars to spend.
Right. You couldn't have gotten like a little bit of a thicker piece of plywood, maybe filled the door with some sandbags or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll mark that as one of a few dings on the props department.
Sure. Does it affect the story? Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
Do I only notice this because I watch this movie frame by frame when I'm doing my note taking? Yes.
Yeah.
Am I going to hold it against them? No, not really.
Okay. Yeah.
So
we'll let this one slide. So Kynes is in the background going, we have to go. We have no choice.
Yeah. Kynes is just like, motherfucker, stop. You can't do anything.
This reminded me of any dad who is trying to get the family inside the van for a vacation. Just like, we gotta go. We're gonna hit traffic. We have to leave now.
Dad, it's 7 a.m. Shut the fuck up. Get in the van. Yeah.
Just that kind of exasperated. We gotta go. We gotta go. We gotta go.
Dad's only had one cup of coffee too. So yeah. He's still like kind of not even fully awake yet.
It's just that Kynes is just trying to usher them out through the secret door that she opened up a little bit ago, and is just not having a lot of success at the moment.
Yep. Then we cut back to Duncan once more. He's on the ground. The sword is still in him, and the Sardaukar just stepping over his body to advance closer to the door.
Yep.
One thing I thought that was interesting is that his shield is actually on his wrist. It's not on his chest. Okay. So I don't know how he activated his shield, unless he like slammed the top of his wrist to his chest, but that wouldn't make sense because it's kind of a weird positioning and everything.
Yeah. Maybe it's, okay. This is just pure speculation. Secondary activator, possibly, maybe. Or an activator on the bottom of his.
Stupid spot to fucking have a secondary activator in the middle of your chest if someone can also just punch you in your chest.
That's fair.
Because we know that like force still carries through the shields. I don't know.
Activator on the bottom of the wrist would probably make the most sense given the motion that he did.
Yeah. I don't know. These motions.
It was a cool move.
Yeah.
It was a cool move getting the
shield. These motions, we haven't seen the last of them though.
No.
We'll talk about them a lot more in a couple hundred episodes of this podcast. But we have this. Well, not even a couple hundred. We'll see. We'll talk about these in 30-ish episodes.
Yeah, we'll be there soon. Yeah. Soon enough. Is that all you had for the movie notes? I mean, that's where our minute ends.
Yeah, right, that's where our minute ends right there. So,
yep. I don't have a lot in the way of book notes for this one. The only thing that is,
we went over the whole paragraph.
Well, yeah. I mean, anything that deals with the actual fighting that we see Duncan and the Sardaukar go through, there's nothing that I can talk about there. So we're kind of getting into what's happening behind the door with Kynes and Jessica and everything. So when Kynes opens the door in the books, it really is more of that like hidden bookshelf moment.
Yeah.
That you mentioned earlier, or you know, hidden door behind the bookshelf, pull the book and it slides open. In the book, it says that they go, Kynes goes to like some cabinets, opens up a drawer, and then turns a knob inside the drawer. And that's what causes the entire like cabinet structure to swing
open. It's like one of those desks that has like the wand that you pull out to then open a fucking another like compartment secret on the latch. Other side of the desk.
Yep.
Those desks are cool as shit.
Oh, sure.
Also, would be incredibly annoying to get like one thing out of there. It's like, I gotta go fucking like.
Hang on, let me grab a pen. 10 minutes later, I got it.
All right, I got my pen.
Yeah. So when the door is revealed in the books, Jessica remarks that Kynes was very well prepared.
Yeah.
And Kynes just looks, you know, looks at her and goes, we've lived under the Harkonnens for 80 years. And that's it. That's all. That's the only exchange that we get. So it's kind of like a, yeah, well, we have to be prepared for this.
Sure.
We're seasoned pros at this point.
Got to remember, too, in the book, the Sardaukar are in Harkonnen armor. They're not in their own armor.
Exactly.
Yep. So I don't remember if we talked about if Duncan was able to kind of figure out that these weren't Harkonnens in the book.
We don't really get a lot of words from Duncan in this part. We do hear from Paul later, like once everything's kind of calmed down, he does say those were Sardaukar in Harkonnen uniforms.
Yeah.
So that is confirmed as far as it can be confirmed right now. Nothing direct.
Sardaukar confirmed.
Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah, that's the only thing I wanted to talk about from the books. Like I said, I got more throughout the week. I think tomorrow I'll have a lot more, but this is mostly a movie only minute that we've got.
It's a good action filled minute.
Oh, for sure.
Fucking
so what do you
choke slams on this bitch? Yeah.
Well, let's hurry up and get back tomorrow so we can continue the end part of this fight and see what happens with that secret door.
Alrighty. As always, you can find us online. We are on Instagram at the Dune Minute. We are Dune Minute on Twitter, and you can email duneminute@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can also rate the show on iTunes if you listen on Apple Podcasts. If you listen anywhere else, feel free to also just send the show to your friends, anyone that you think would enjoy it. More people that we can get to listen, the better. So.
Yep. And I'll say, as of this time in recording, we are a 5-star podcast on Apple.
I'm gonna go
Apple
give it podcasts. A 1-star right now.
I will say that is of 5 whole ratings.
Hey.
So 5 out of 5. So we'd love to boost those numbers up if possible. Just help spread the word, get it on some charts when people are looking for Dune related stuff. So if you haven't already, go throw us a 5-star if you're enjoying it.
We'll be back tomorrow with another episode. We'll see you then.
All right, see ya.